I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to a Mint production brought to you by HD Smartcast.
Hello, welcome to our podcast, The Signal
and the Noise,
that will attempt to give you a peek into the inner workings of Mint's long story. This is Sunit.
And I am Ajay.
And we are both editors with Mint.
Every week, either one of us will attempt to walk you through the most defining development in the world of business, politics, or technology.
Let's dive in.
Hello. Welcome and thanks for tuning in. My colleague Sayantan is here with me today. He's been trailing India's rural stories for many years now. And over the past few weeks, he's been tracking the farmer protest that is at Delhi's doorsteps. On Republic Day, things seem to have come to a head. Police barricades were broken, tractors poured into Delhi from all directions, and at least a section of farmers made it all the way to the Red Fort. The protesting farmers have been seeking a repeal of three laws which were passed by Parliament back in September 2020. And the events of Republic Day in many ways mark an escalation, a major turning point. Is there any scope still for a negotiated compromise? What could that look like? And how will the next few weeks of this farmer government standoff play out? That's what I'm going to ask Sayantan today. Welcome to the show, Sayantan. So what exactly happened during the tractor rally on Republic Day? There was a bit of chaos and confusion. So let's first start off with your sense of what actually happened.
Yeah, hi, Ajay. So initially, the farmer unions had said they want to take the tractor parade, do the tractor parade on the outer ring road, which the police didn't allow. And they had agreed on a route mostly which was on the fringes of the Delhi. And the march was to start from four locations, Singhu, Tikri, Ghazipur and Shahjahanpur, on a pre-designated route. And it was to start about noon on the Republic Day. But what happened a day before was that one of the unions from Punjab, they announced they would be going on the route that was decided earlier, which is on the outer ring road. And they made their intentions quite clear. And they said they will start off at 8 a.m. in the morning and they will march through the ring road. So that was one part of it, which they did. They start at 8 in the morning. But soon after, what happened is that on the Ghazipur side, where very few expected there would be trouble coming from that side. So on the Ghazipur side, they also started around 10. You know, they were supposed to not supposed to start before the official Republic Day parade ends. But they started ahead of that. They breached the barricades and started moving towards central Delhi to ITO. And in the meanwhile, the group which had started from the Singhu border early in the morning, they also moved on to, they had some skirmishes with the police at Sanjay Gandhi Transport Nagar. And then they moved towards Outer Ring Road. And in the meantime, people from both these groups, these are smaller groups actually, given the number of farmers who participated in the march, actually you can say that 90% of them were moving in predetermined and designated routes, which went off peacefully. And we could see images of residents of Delhi showering flowers on them, giving them water. But the unfortunate incident which happened in ITO and later at the Red Fort was completely unplanned. And so far, the Farmer Union, the Samyukt Kisan Morcha, the coalition leading the agitation, they have said that it was a few elements who diverted from the set plan and created okay. this chaos, and they did dissociate from those people, but at the same time they have taken responsibility.
So based on your conversations with like former leaders and organizers, does reaching Red Fort, like how did this come about? How did that happen?
Yeah, I think, you know, to piece it together would be a little difficult. I guess like some group from the Singhu, which started early, they reached the Red Fort and hoisted the flag there, the Sikh religious flag, although they did not desecrate or do anything to the Indian national flag. And also some people who are coming from the Ghazipur side actually ended up in Red Fort, and it took quite a long time to vacate the Red Fort. And it was, none of it was planned. And it seems like, you know, there was the farmer leaders had taken the restiveness of the youth for granted. You know, many of the farmer leaders who are part of the decision-making body, they're veteran leaders, they're seasoned people. They know that, you know, the moment you diverge from the peaceful protest, you will lose the battle to a large extent. But what I understand is that they fail to recognize and get on board the youth who are for whom the patience was running out. You know, like they have been sitting here for more than 2 months at the Delhi, at different border points in Delhi. More than 150 people have died so far, you know, and I mean, no matter how long they keep saying that they want to stay on as long as they want, but it shows, you know, the anxiety, you know, the whole, you know, when emotions take over a plan, and it showed there in the Red Fort. That's very, very unfortunate.
So if there are splinter groups which kind of headed towards Red Fort, I think one question that a lot of people have is, who is really directing the movement now? You know, about 2 lakh farmers have amassed on Delhi's borders. So who are the leaders who is devising the protest action plan?
See, I think it's very difficult for a group of 30, 40 farmer leaders to have a tight control over a protest which has seen spontaneous participation from villages in Punjab and Haryana, and to a certain extent in UP and also Rajasthan. You know, like, so a lot of people have come out on their own accord. You know, like they are not members of farmer unions. They are there.
Sure.
You know, they go by the plan which is agreed mostly. But we also have to note that, you know, for people in Punjab have been protesting for more than 6 months now. I mean, all of it put together, you know, the movement has stayed largely peaceful, and you know, barring very untoward, a couple of untoward incidents yesterday, it has stayed mostly, I mean, like, it has never turned violent, you know, like, so I guess the leaders understand that there was a lapse, and they're trying to identify the people who have created the trouble, and there are some names being thrown up, including that of the Punjabi actor Deep Sidhu, I think, I mean, people need to do more legwork, and the farmer unions are yet to come out with a formal statement blaming him. But they are saying that, you know, this kind of the identification and purging within the movement was necessary so that the discipline can be maintained going ahead.
So looking ahead, what happens now? You know, after many rounds of negotiations, the talks with the government also seem to have hit a wall. So what are the next few weeks going to look like?
One thing is that, you know, like it really doesn't look like that the talks will happen or resume anytime soon. The government is going to be busy, you know, but the parliament is reopening on resuming business on Friday, on 29th, right, for the budget session.
Mm-hmm.
So my sense is that a lot of the conversation and debate will shift to the parliament now. And interestingly, the farmer unions have also have have planned a foot march to the parliament the day the government presents its budget. And they're still on with that plan. Okay, so it remains to be seen how that plays out. But given the situation now, you know, the how the Republic Day played out, and the talks broke down, the 11th round of talks broke down before that, it looks like a really it's going to take long before a resolution is achieved. And we also need to look at how the Supreme Court reacts to the whole thing. So far, the Supreme Court has refused to, you know, intervene or put an order requesting, order asking the protesters to leave the sites, right? We need to see how the Supreme Court, whether it will change its stance in the next hearing.
Okay. Well, stepping back a little, this has also been like the second consecutive year of mass protest in Delhi on Republic Day. Last year it was CAA and this year the farmer movement. And they have surprisingly managed to stay put for 2 months already. So beyond like getting anything from the government itself, how long can this go on? Now that farmers have realized some, like you said, some people are getting agitated. So what is the end game looking like for them? Like, are they trying to recraft strategy on what to ask for or how to go about things now?
I think they will go slow for a while in terms of protest demonstrations and, like a show of strength. What I mean, Republic Day parade for them was a show of strength, right? Mm-hmm. And also to protest. And so I think they might go slow on that front. But there is absolutely no reason to think that the people who are here now at Delhi's borders, they will leave on their own till the government repeals. And to be frankly, they are saying that we are ready to wait here till 2024. It sounds absurd, but that's a long... I mean, they're very ready. And they're saying that, you know, like, so also the protests also, if you go visit the protest sites, people keep going and coming back. So they have all villages have their own roster kind of a thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So they know that it's going to be a long haul and they're not going anywhere. So interestingly, we have to see how the conversation and the battle plays out in the parliament now, you know, like whether the opposition will pin the government down on this or how the government responds. I think a lot of the conversation will shift there. Since we don't see any immediate hope of the direct talks resuming.
Okay. Well, hopefully there'll be a solution soon. And thanks for joining, Sayantan. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Ajay. Thank you so much.
You have been listening to The Signal and the Noise. We would love to hear from you. Reach out to us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram on @HTSmartcast.
Or you can also reach out to us personally at Sunita Arora
and at AJ Axiom. To listen to more such interesting podcasts, do log on to htsmartcast.com.
We'll be back next week with a new story, another fresh voice, or a unique take on the world.
Do stay well until then and keep supporting good journalism.
This was a Mint production brought to you by HT Smartcast.
HT Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.